This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now.
Thank you very much, Vince. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 22nd of January 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Ongonor, Carl Stoll, Avi Doria, J. Scott Evans, Chuck Gomes, Bertrand de la Chapelle, Nick Steinbach, Tom Pert, Phil Duano, and Michael Graham. We have an apology from Christopher Pack. And from staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, and myself, Matthew Pogan. Kieran Malachowerville is in the midst of joining the AC room. I would like to remind everyone to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you. This is Chuck. And let me say that Jonathan Frost notified me with an apology as well, as he and his company are busy launching a new TLD, so he will not be able to join us today. Welcome, everyone, and I appreciate some of the activity that took place on the list, and hopefully you can see the agenda on the right. Let me ask, is there anyone who is not in Adobe Connect? Just speak up if you're not, and so I know to watch up. It's so good. Okay, so it sounds like everybody's in Adobe Connect, so you should be able to see the agenda on the right. It was emailed out a day or two ago. any updates to SOIs?
Hey, Chuck. This is Nick. Can you hear me?
Yes, Nick. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So my SOI, my title changed, so I just updated that on my SOI, but the rest of the information is there.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you communicating that, and you updated your SOI, so it's there. Excellent. Anybody else? All right. Next, any suggested changes to the agenda? Okay. Then let's go to item four on the agenda. And this is very quick because I requested this on the working group list. I do appreciate those that have already been working within your groups to get responses to the questions that we sent out to all the stakeholder groups and constituencies and SOs and ACs. Thanks again to the ALAC for, I don't know if Alan may not be on now, but for getting theirs in first and early. We appreciate that very much. And I know Amr said he's working on a response from his group, and I'm sure others are as well. The reality of the matter is, and all of you, I think, know this, we ask an awful lot of questions in requesting feedback there, and I know that's challenging for groups to deal with so much. So future reference, if this working group sends out requests for input, we might want to break it up, but we can deal with that the next time we confront that. But anyway, I appreciate any help each of you can do in your stakeholder groups, constituencies, SOs, whatever the case may be, in doing that. any questions on that? Okay, going to item five. I will give a very, this is still Chuck speaking, I will give a very quick update on the principal sub-team. We're back rolling after the holidays. I thought we made some good progress last week in our call, and we had a 90-minute call last week. We're going to have another 90-minute call tomorrow, and depending on how that goes, we may have one next week. We'll decide that tomorrow. I think we're moving right along because we realize that our work, like the definition sub-team work, is a prerequisite to the main task that we're going to be working on hopefully soon. And by the way, there's good list activity this week on the principal sub-team, which helps us move along further, so I appreciate that. Okay, now we're ready, unless anybody wants anything first, to go to our main agenda item. I want to thank the definition sub-team for the excellent work they've done. That document was shared quite a few days ago, and our goal today is to go through that document in detail, and to do that, I'm going to turn it over to Michael.
Go over in detail. Well, this is the final draft as we prepared it from the sub-team, and what we'd like to do is to go through, and I suppose the way we could do it is to go through term by term to see if there's any discussion on the draft definition to turn those into final definitions for us. Again, I think reviewing the note at the top that these working definitions have been developed for the limited use by the GNSO Policy and Implementation Working Group to facilitate their discussions and deliberations on the questions outlined in the working group's charter. These definitions are expected to evolve as a result of the working group deliberations. At the end of the process, the working group is expected to review these definitions, add or update them as appropriate, and to include them in the final report, which was an addition from Chuck, I believe. So, all of these we have discussed, and I'll just go through them as we have them printed here and as they're on the screen. And it's useful to begin with policy, both in terms of understanding it and in the fact that you'll note that there are two definitions of policy under one. One is policy, which is intended to be a dictionary type of understanding of that term generally, and then where there may be a particular meaning in the context of GNSO or GTLD deliberations, we've included that as a second term. So the first definition that we proposed is of policy, and that draft definition reads, a generally accepted definition of policy is a written statement of a set of decisions and or methods of action selected to determine and guide present and future actions thought to be desirable or necessary. And I suppose the way we should do this is open that up for any comment, proposed changes or questions to the sub-team, many of whom are on the call, thankfully.
Michael, this is Chuck. I think you already know this, but I'm just going to let you manage the queue if you're okay with that. There's no use me jumping in the middle, and if I have something to say, I'll raise my hand like everybody else.
Right. I'm trying to determine when it's agreeable silence or pregnant silence. I'm not sure. Which we can always come back to these terms, I suppose, once.
Yes, Michael, Cheryl here. Bertrand's got his hand up.
Go ahead, Bertrand.
I wonder if Bertrand's on mute.
Yeah, are you on mute, Bertrand, or? And in answer to your question, no, we do not hear you, Bertrand. I'll note that it was interesting the other day sitting in on the policy panel, expert policy on the ICANN and governance, to listen to Vinton Cerf be amazed as he was watching the chat room alive with conversation. Oh, okay. Bertrand says he's on Adobe. He will call in. Alan, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to draw attention to the fact, or not the fact, but my belief that this definition is lacking something, and not, I don't think it's anything we can fix right now, but I think it's important to remember it. If you think about how we got to where we are today, it was because various people believed that things done during implementation were policy or impacted the policy. This definition is almost a circular definition in that it's saying whatever is developed under the formal process is policy, and implicitly implying that anything that wasn't developed under the policy process is not policy. So it almost says there is no problem. We don't need to have this working group at all because it's all already clear. And clearly, in some people's minds, that's not the case. So I think it's just important as we go forward to remember that.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. I wonder if going ahead to GNSO policy, if that's helpful in any way in that regard. So I'll just go down there and read the draft definition for that. Is GNSO policy is a policy developed through a formal policy development process as set forth in Annex A of the ICANN bylaws. And then followed by a note noting that there are the recognition, I guess, recognized, so we included note, there are multiple kinds of, quote, policy, end quote, within the ICANN world. There are formal policies developed through the policy development processes that set forth in the bylaw. Operational policies, generally not subject to a PDP or considered implementation, such as the conflicts of interest policy, but for which public comment is sought and considered. And that refers specifically to ATRT Recommendation 6 paper for further details. And general practices that are sometimes referred to as, quote, little p, end quote, policies, or more accurately, quote, procedures, end quote, such as a 30-day public comment requirement for bylaw changes. This working group is charged with looking at whether there are other times during which policy processes may need to be invoked. And Alan, I'm going to take that as a new hand.
It's just pointing out what I said in the chat, that my comment, I'm surprised no one questioned me on it, because my comment was really, I jumped the gun. It was talking about this one, not the previous one.
Okay. And I think part of your concern, too, is not so much addressed by but illuminated by the note that follows, that there's been some sort of deal of rather loose understanding of what policy is and where it comes into play. Bertrand, are you on the phone yet?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, excellent. Sorry. I just wanted to make two comments. The first one is the one I put in the chat room. I was a little bit surprised that the definition includes decisions and or methods of action, but nothing related to rules, principles, norms, and elements of reference that establish in a certain way a policy. And I was wondering whether it was intentional and maybe there's a rationale or if it is an oversight. The second thing is, I agreed with a comment that was made earlier regarding the fact that the definition of GNSO policy, if we put only in the note the notion that there can be other types of policy done without a PDP, we are implicitly putting the finger on the key problem that we're addressing, but sort of making a hierarchy, saying there is GNSO policy, but, oh, by the way, it's more fuzzy. And I'm not sure it's the right balance of element. For instance, making it in a note in italics seems to be almost an afterthought, whereas it is actually part of the key issue we are addressing. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, you had your hand up?
Yes. Thank you, Michael. When I look at the definition of GNSO policy, it looks to me like it's the definition of GNSO consensus policy, which comes up later. Because GNSO policy can be small p policy as well, at least in my opinion. And that may or may not follow a formal policy development process, but it's still GNSO policy. So that would be the question that I raise in this regard. Isn't that definition basically saying the same thing in different words as GNSO consensus policy later, that that refers to the bylaws, but the formal policy development process is defined in the bylaws. So it looks like what we have here is the same definition as GNSO consensus policy, and my thinking is that this definition should be a little bit broader than just consensus policy.
Okay, thank you. Alan, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I do not think this is the GNSO consensus policy, capital C, capital P. I suspect the lead-in sentence should say formal GNSO, formal policy development processes. The reference to Annex A is a tricky one in that the vast majority of Annex A talks about the capital PDP, capital policy development process. The lead sentence, however, the lead paragraph, says if it were not referring to consensus policy where a PDP is required to compel contracted parties to change their terms of their contract, then other processes may be used. And I am presuming that this whole definition is referring to either the formal PDP, if the GNSO chooses to use it, or some other processes that may be used from time to time. So I most certainly do not think it refers to consensus policy with capital letters. And I hope that we did use the term PDP in the note. I'm not sure if that's correct. I'd have to look at it carefully. But certainly, as we were drafting this, the intention was not just PDP-defined policy, but policy that comes out of the GNSO through whatever methodology. Thank you.
This is Michael for the record. I'll go ahead. Chuck, you want to answer that?
This is Chuck. I just want to follow up with Alan. So are you suggesting, Alan, that it shouldn't be a capital P there in the definition, in the first, second word?
No, I'm not suggesting that. I believe the GNSO can create policy which is not a consensus policy because it doesn't refer to the picket fence items and is potentially not developed under the PDP, but using some other methodology the GNSO chooses to use.
And this is Chuck. So do I. And that's why I thought this is too narrow. The definition itself, forget the note, seems to only refer to policy that's developed via the formal process and not other policies.
No, the Annex A says that, and the PDP handbook says that we can use other processes. The GNSO is going to have to refine those before they can be used, but they can be used.
And it says
a policy development process, not the capital PDP.
This is Chuck again. I get that. But this says GNSO policy is a policy developed through a formal policy development process. Annex A is just where the formal policy development process is defined. Where in that definition does it include the small p policy?
It doesn't. I don't think we're talking about small p policy here. An example in my mind of small p policy is the way that registries or DNS is going to handle IDN variants is a policy, but it's not a policy in the sense of GNSO policy that has to be developed by consensus consensus-driven processes within the GNSO. There are rules that have to be developed somewhere. Those are the lowercase p's that we're referring to, just because we do use the word policy all over the place. We have a travel policy. It's not developed by the GNSO Annex A rules, but it's a policy. In my mind, anything the GNSO develops that is a set of rules, principles, whatever, to guide GTLD implementation and operation is a GNSO capital P policy.
I'm still not clear, but let me let others talk. I don't see the difference between this definition and the definition of GNSO consensus policy later. But let me let others talk.
If I can, this is Michael. I just wanted to jump in and ask Alan a quick clarification question. When you're referring to the source whereby policy may be developed either through PDP or other processes, are you pulling that from either the annex or from the charter?
I'm pulling that from the what I was talking about, maybe there's something in the charter. And I think there is something in the charter, but I was referring to the lead-in paragraph of Annex A.
Okay. And that's what I thought you were referring to, and I think I see Chuck's point, and I think the way to clarify this is to open this up so that it's not limited to developed through a formal policy development process, perhaps by including a minor change that would be through a formal policy development process or other means or methods as set forth in Annex A of the ICANN bylaws. That way we're not referring narrowly to only policy that's developed through that process, but any time that it's policy related to GNSO matters.
Okay, I was
Michael,
assuming
this
that
is
shouldn't...
Marika. Michael, this is Marika. If I can maybe just add something here, because indeed, as Alan clarified, I think the Annex A, and I put it as well in the chat, specifically refers to other processes. So I think if we're adding things there, we're going beyond what it currently says. And I think I just want to emphasize as well that we're really looking here at working definition. We're not trying to define or determine here what the outcome of our deliberations is, because I think that the point that Chuck is making, indeed, that whatever comes out of this working group may result in another formal process or procedure or whatever it's going to be called that may also result in a small p policy, a formal policy by the GNSO. And I think at that stage we would incorporate that into the definition and say GNSO policy is policy developed through a formal policy development process, or you know, whatever we're going to call what this group is going to come up with, and rework that definition at the end stage. I think we have to be careful here that we don't try to overthink all these definitions now, because you know, they're not supposed to limit the deliberations of the working group going forward, but just provide a tool so we are all on the same understanding of when we throw out terms like GNSO policy, what we currently understand with that. So I think I just want to emphasize that, to really take this as working definitions, and the whole idea is that at the end of all our work, we'll go back to all these definitions and really see if they actually reflect or are in line with the recommendations that this working group is hopefully going to come up with.
Thank you, Marika. Bertrand?
Yeah, I've been listening carefully to this discussion, and as we all remember, the working group is dealing with policy and implementation. When we're talking about policy, there are two dimensions, I feel, that need to be taken into account. One is the substance, the content of the policy. Let's say that there is a document, and nobody knows how it's been produced. You look at the substance of the document and you say, this is setting such a broad set of rules, or it is establishing constraints for third parties, or it is something that is clearly designing or serving a particular objective. This looks like a policy as opposed to a document that would say, the way you will implement or organize this thing is according to the following method. So one element is whether by looking at the results, the document itself, you feel, or there are criteria that say this is a policy. The other leg is how something has been developed. And those two elements lead to two possible definitions of policy that maybe have to combine somehow. But one is to say, if things are sufficiently substantial, quote-unquote, whatever substantial means, it is a policy, and hence, it should be developed according to at least a public consultation, at least a working group with all the different stakeholders, and potentially with the full-fledged iterative process of the full PDP. This is the somehow substance to process approach. The other way around is to say, irrespective of what the document is somehow, if it is produced by a PDP, it is a policy. And if it is produced by something that is sufficiently consultative and iterative, even if it's not a full PDP, it is a policy. And I think there is almost a fundamental choice in approach between a procedural definition of policy and a substantive definition of policy. The two have to be combined, because if you do the definition according to what is the content, it conducts or it leads to a certain requirement regarding how it's elaborated, particularly regarding who is impacted, who is concerned, and so on. And if you go the other way around, you define two or three methods for producing something, and you say any of those methods is producing actually something that is policy. I'm wondering whether we are not discussing here a sort of shift between a procedural interpretation to a more substantive interpretation. Because if I remember some of the cases, and particularly the famous thing about trademark plus 50 that triggered a lot of discussion around the separation, the key challenge was that in that case, the rules that were embedded in what was to be implemented were actually substantial and substantially modifying something that was adopted before, that it had been discussed with public comments, and hence a lot of people were saying this is actually not implementation, it's policy. So it was more related to the substance than to the fact that it was formally brought through a process. And I think if we take the approach about the substance and determining the definition by the amount of impact, the degree of generality, as opposed to, for instance, something that is just the way you do something, it will then lead to say, depending on the types of policy that we're talking about, we will need the following process, as opposed to saying we have three processes and anything that goes through those processes is labeled policy. But it would not, if we take this second approach or keep this second approach, it does not solve the question of whether something should be dealt with basically by the policy process or the GNSO or by staff, which I think is one of the underlying questions. I hope I'm clear.
Yeah, Alan, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm going to try to say this very briefly. Over the last number of years, there are some rather difficult battles fought to kill the concept that a PDP, capitalized with all of its bells and whistles, was the only way to develop policy within the GNSO. Now, we haven't gone so far as to formalize any other processes, but we have generally got it acknowledged, including in bylaws Annex A, that other processes could be used, mm-hmm. unless, of course, it is a formal picket fence consensus policy. I think we want to be very careful not to put in place definitions or anything else here which rolls back that clock. Otherwise, we are killing an awful lot of work that was very difficult by a lot of people, and I really don't think we want to do that. So, you know, definitions are tools at this point, but they can set a standard, and we really need to be very, very careful that we do not equate capital P policy, formal GNSO GTLD policy, with the PDP. That may be the only formal process we have right now. We do have informal ones, as I've pointed out in the chat, and we may well have others in the future, and this working group may indeed come out with some. I'm saying in the chat, I didn't finish typing it, I hope we will not try to define the full other, some other formal process in detail, but may well specify some guidelines or principles for them. But let's be careful not to disallow that at the very beginning with our definitions. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Chuck, I'm not sure if Bertrand's hand is still up.
Okay, this is Chuck. This is more a process point.
Sorry.
I think it would be helpful if, before we move on to other definitions, now we're still in number one, so that's we're fine. But some questions have been asked, some suggestions have been made, and Michael, you're already responding in the chat to a certain degree of what I'm talking about. But let's make sure we know what the next action steps are with these specific definitions. For example, would the definition subteam like to deliberate a little bit further on some of these and come back to the working group? I'm not saying that has to happen to everyone, but let's just make sure. And for example, in Bertrand's initial comments, he asked some questions that I don't think there were ever answers to. So either I would hope that the somebody on the sub-team could respond, or again, say, you know, let's consider those questions and get back to him so his questions are answered. So just a process point. As we go through, let's make sure we understand before we move on to number two, for example, whether there are any action items on those definitions. Thanks.
And this is Marika, if I can maybe add to that, Chuck, because I think it would be really helpful indeed if the working group is of the view that the sub-team should go back and look at these, if those that have submitted make comments to maybe actually suggest specific wording or added to the definitions that are on the table. I think that would make the work of the sub-team a lot easier, or, you know, trying to interpret how people like their comments reflected may be much harder instead of proposing supposed edits or additions or additional notes to clarify some of these things. And also, in order to facilitate that process, it actually may be helpful for Michael actually to first run through all the terms, so at least we had a chance to cover all of them, and then maybe restart the conversation, and, you know, if or when we ran out of time, people actually had a chance to hear about all these definitions and then are able, hopefully, to submit some comments in writing to the list so that either, you know, the working group looks at it at the next meeting or the sub-team, you know, whatever the group decides would be the most appropriate path to dealing with those. That may be a helpful way forward, just a suggestion.
Yeah, this is Michael for the record. I think that may be the way to go forward, to take comments now and concerns, and have the sub-team go back with those and consider whether or not we can address them in amendments or proposed amendments or in some other way. Cheryl, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Michael. Cheryl Langdon, off the record. I actually was struck with a need to at least put on the record here how careful we need to be with the tools in the nomenclature we're using. In other words, the capitalization and inverted commas, etc. Michael, I was perfectly happy with your "I would revise" in the chat right up until I noted that, in my view, there was a lack of capitalization, which I suspect was accidental, not deliberate, in the text you put up. So I just wanted to be really sure that as we move forward and start fine-tuning these things, and I think we do need to do it in the way that Marika has proposed and Chuck was suggesting, that we are very careful with our use of capitalising, etc. We tend to do it, or many of us do it, in our language, so we refer to capital P policy or lowercase policy or uppercase policy, and if we think about the way that's happening in our minds, and as we speak, what makes it clear, we need to ensure we also make it clear that way in the written word. Thank you.
Cheryl, thank you. And I will blame Blake for my capitalization.
I'm happy to capitalize as long as it's done with purpose and we all understand what it means. And same goes for lack of capitalizing. That was Cheryl.
Right. And just a quick response. Bertrand, I think, is raising some interesting issue as to substantive versus procedural definitions and where those may or may not be appropriate in the analysis. Picking up on what Marika said, I would be very happy if we would progress, unless there are other substantive statements that would add to the discussion relating to these two definitions, go on to the further ones, see what other discussion we can have. The more we can do and be able to take back to the sub-team and work on, the quicker we can get this done, I think. And I think using the chat room as well, which we can pull up later for the entire sub-team would be helpful. So with that said, why don't I move on to the next definition so that we can discuss that, and that's definition two of policy development. And that is a totally procedural. Policy development is the process through which policy is developed, which I will admit is circular, but it's also open-ended because it does not close what that development might consist of. And I believe some of that is drawn from the ICANN bylaw. And then the second definition there is GNSO policy development. And again, this is development of policy pursuant to the policy development procedures, PDP, set forth in Annex A to the ICANN bylaws. This procedure is required to be used for the development of consensus policy, which is defined below. For other policies, the GNSO Council may use the PDP, but is not required to do so. And I believe that last part was an addition. Was that an addition from you, Chuck?
I don't think so. That sounds like an addition from Alan, but but I don't really know.
Well, actually, I see your comment on it is asking what process would be followed. And I think in answer to your question there, that is for the working group to consider.
Exactly. This is Chuck, Michael, and that's my comments were really along those lines. So there is a gap there, and Alan's mentioned that already today. And so that we may fill that gap in our recommendations from the working group. But so I was not trying to change what is said there, but more identifying something that probably relates to our work going forward.
Right. Alan, you want to elucidate?
Yeah, this is an almost perfect definition if we change the title of what it's defining. This is really a definition of the GNSO consensus policy development. And in reference to what Cheryl was saying, the words before the parenthetical PDP should have been capitalized here. You only typically have an acronym if there are capitalized words preceding it. But this is the definition of consensus policy development. Maybe we need a more general one, which is sort of referring to the green sentence added at the end. But the first sentence here, or the first two sentences, really are consensus policy.
Right, Alan. I think the same thing that was being said about the GNSO policy being limiting and perhaps directed more towards consensus policy is the same thing that could be said as to this. And really, I think probably that would be the way to approach it, to keep this open, because GNSO policy development, I think,
may be, you know, based on Annex A, two different means. It's consensus policy that has to be through the PDP, and I think we want to be clear with that. And I think by having these open-ended definitions and making that clear, I think we make clear the fact that the other work of the working group, which is coming up with some guidelines, is really the focus that we want to make to address this type of policy development as opposed to consensus policy development. Marika, I think you raised your hand while I was speaking.
Yes, this is Marika. I don't think I agree with Alan on this point, because I think currently the genus of PDP can also be used to develop any policy that is not a consensus policy if the GNSO decides so. And that's also, you know, spelled out. GNSO has the availability to either use Annex A or use another process, which I think is what the last sentence clarifies. For other policies, the GNSO may use the PDP but is not required to do so. So I think at the moment this is not limited to consensus policy development. As said, you know, should this working group come up with a process and say, you know, all the policies should always follow this alternative process, then again, we may need to refine this definition. But I think this is what is reflecting the current reality and the way Annex A and the PDP manual is written.
Alan, did you want to respond?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's a new hand. Yeah, Marika's right. My comment was perhaps a little bit too glib. And I think it's accurate that this definition is a good development of consensus policy definition, but the PDP is not limited to consensus policy. I think this can be fixed by some careful use of capitalization and a reference to consensus policy earlier on in this definition. I'm not going to try to do it on the fly, but Marika is correct. We do need to make sure that the policy development process, either uppercase or lowercase, is not constrained in what it can develop policy on. Consensus policy does require the formal PDP, but not necessarily. The converse is not true. So I think this needs some work. What I glibly said at the beginning with is probably not accurate.
Now, this is Michael. In looking at this, and exactly what we were talking about, I think has happened, because I think if you look back then at GNSO policy, that really should point only at the result, and the development is how it gets there. So I think, you know, some good points have already been raised for the sub-team to take back and retool these a bit. Chuck?
Thanks, Michael. Just a procedural suggestion. When the sub-team looks at these again, I think it'd be helpful for us all if you produced a red line of how you change these. That'll help us really see exactly what you did, and you can explain and so forth. So just a suggestion.
Right. We'll take that to heart. I think that's good. Oh, Alan, is that the same hand? Or?
No, this time that is an old hand.
Okay. Well, being another old hand, I'm going to move ahead to policy advice. And the definition that coming up is preferred not to use was community input and suggestions on policy related issues. Such advice may be requested by the board or offered independently. And I think it's important for that to be read with the next one, which is GNSO policy guidance, which has a footnote. And then the definition of that is GNSO policy guidance refers to a process for developing GTLD policy other than the GNSO policy development process required for developing consensus policy. I think, although it's written as part of the definition, I think following of this probably is a note. GNSO policy guidance could consist of input or advice provided by the GNSO on policy-related issues in response to a specific GNSO-generated proposal, or be related to a request from the board or other non-GNSO ICANN entity or working group where no PDP has been requested, defined, required, or deemed necessary, and where, quote, consensus policy, end quote, is not required. The nature, scope, and effect of such guidance is undefined and to be considered by the PID, by this work group, and proposed as part of its recommendations in its final report to the GNSO Council. So I think we sort of mixed the definition with the note and explanation in that one. And the footnote, as advice, is a term defined in the ICANN bylaws in relation to ICANN advisory committees. It was deemed more appropriate to use the term guidance in the context of the GNSO. And that was the discussion that we had. And the GNSO policy guidance derived specifically from Charter Question 2. Alan?
Yeah, I went along with this in the subgroup, and I'm reading it again now. I'm not at all sure. This is really saying that we're defining a new term that if it's not developed by the PDP, by the formal PDP, but by some other policy development process, then it is deemed to be policy guidance. And that word seems to have less power with it than when the GNSO forwards policy recommendations to the board for implementation. And I'm not sure if the intent was that policy guidance be really different than policy recommendations that PDPs create come up with. You know, maybe it's convenient terminology, and we need to define them as being equal in terms of impact, other than of course affecting picket fence issues. But I'm a little bit bothered that the term sounds weaker than the recommendation that we normally make to the board.
Yeah, good point there. I'm looking at footnote 2 as well. I think there's some clarification we could certainly bring to the definition. Bertrand?
Yeah, I think that there is, if I take the two categories of policy on one hand, and on the other hand, policy advice and policy guidance, if we develop this new term, the difference, in my view, if I understand correctly, is that a policy is something that, after the end of whatever process, is being sent to the board, and the board will validate that consensus has been achieved or that the process is complete, and then it is supposed to be moving to implementation, which is the reason why it requires a very detailed and sometimes lengthy process of really extended consultations to ensure that in the process of the development of this policy, all the different voices and perspectives have been taken into account, the right balance has been made, because once this process is complete, it goes to implementation and the board theoretically is supposed just to validate it. The difference with the others, policy advice and policy guidance, however we call them, are not intended to be potentially directly implementable. They are contributions to processes. They are supposed to be a little bit faster. They are not definitive, and they therefore deserve probably a process that is more expeditious, that requires consultation and so on, but not with all the straitjackets that the PDP has because of its implementability directly. So I think the distinction between the two categories is valid. Whether we need a distinction between advice and guidance is up to the group to discuss, but I think it is a typical example where the substance of the policy as something that is implementable and will have effect on people justifies a stronger process, whereas advice and guidance, because they are part of the process, are lighter constraints and are not implementable per se. That's how I understand the distinction, and I think it's a useful one.
Thank you, Bertrand. I think that's good to keep in mind as well. Alan?
Thank you. The differentiation that Bertrand made may be useful at times, but that was not necessarily the overall intent. Let me give you an example that's come up multiple times. Most PDPs include a recommendation that we measure the outcome to see if we did the job right. If we decide we did not do the job right and it needs some adjustment, there is no process within the GNSO right now other than a brand new PDP from scratch to make that adjustment.
Okay.
There just isn't way. And one of these, I'll use a term which is out of vogue now, but a fast path PDP, something using less rigorous processes, could well be used to make adjustments, things that are not necessarily controversial, but you need a formal process by which the GNSO can put its stamp on it and forward it to the board for implementation. And that was one of the classes of problems that it was hoped that this alternate policy process would address. And it does need to be just as substantive and just as important as the PDP one, just not carried out using the same exact process. So, yes, there may be guidance that we want to be able to give, which is akin to advice from an advisory committee, which is not at the same level of specificity, but that wasn't certainly the only projected use for other processes, and that, which is why I was worried that it does not have the same level of import using the word guidance. You know, maybe we just need to define guidance, but nevertheless, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jay Scott? Hey, Scott, are you on?
He's typing.
Oh. You may have to run.
Michael, just to know that I'm in the queue as well. My hand is a bit further up. So.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Yeah, don't forget.
And Aubrey? Aubrey, while we're waiting for Jay Scott to sign back in, dial back in. Up, down. Marika, I'm not sure who.
Yeah, this is Marika. I really think that we're basically jumping ahead to the conversation. And I think one thing I want to emphasize as well that the sub team really took a lot of care not to try to write into these definitions any kind of preset outcomes. And this whole conversation about policy guidance is one of the core tasks for the working group to develop. So I think what you really see here in this definition is as it currently exists. And again, a lot of thought went into the use of the terminology where the sub-team decided not to use the term GNSO policy advice, as advice is a formal defined term in the bylaws and reserved for advisory committees. Hence the term policy guidance, which has also been used, I think, in the staff briefing paper as well as the charter. But of course, you know, if at the end of the deliberations the working group decides that the process for developing, you know, either advice, guidance, whatever you may want to call it, of course, the definition would change accordingly. So again, I really would like to, you know, encourage people to actually focus on what is here and what this is intended to do, and you know, keep all the very good points about, you know, how this should look or what kind of implications the process should have. But I think that conversation really needs to go into you know, the conversations when we get to that charter question that looks at should there be a process by which the GNSO can develop policy guidance or advice or feedback that doesn't require a PDP process. So that's just the point I wanted to share.
Marika, this is Michael. Thank you. I think that was good to remind us all that we are
in these definitions merely trying to determine terms that we can utilize in discussion, and again, recognizing that their meaning and perhaps other additional terms that we will develop will come out of the entire working group's work at the end of this. Jay Scott, are you back on?
Yeah. My only comment is, for definition, Gino's policy guidance, the concept I get, and we can argue about how that needs to be, but guidance seems like it's the end product rather than the process. So I think that if we're, when we think about how we're going to, the term we're going to define, we need to make sure that it sort of makes sense. And I'm not so sure is saying that GNSO policy guidance and then defining it as whatever process we may come up for non-PDP oriented decisions, that guidance is necessarily the proper way. I just throw that out. This seems like it is telling you what the end product of that process is rather than the name of the process. So that's just my comment.
Good point. Thank you for that. I'm reading it again, and I think that's right on. It would be something for us to take a look at and see. Bertram?
Yeah, I don't want to belabor. I put it mostly in the chat. I think Alan made a very valid point. The thing is, I see a difference in the type of consequences that any document that is produced has. If something is actually a policy that will be implemented, whether it is the initial policy or any modification, any update, any transformation or clarification, it is a policy. What I understood, and again, it's up for discussion, is that policy advice or guidance would be a more general contribution either to a question that the board has asked or either to a spontaneous, very early stage input on an issue that has emerged. And so therefore, the outcome of a policy advice and a policy guidance, if we keep these words, in my view, is different in nature of the document from something that is going to be sent to the board for implementation. I like this distinction, actually, and I agree with Alan that modifications to the PDP is only one of the things that he wanted to address. But fundamentally, for me, the clarifying divide is whether the thing is comprehensive and is going to be implemented as such, or, and potentially modified in reference to other elements that have emerged, or if it is a contribution that in itself is not something that is complete, that will be implemented as such, and that is a full decision framework also. I would be reluctant to put under policy guidance, which is a very light term, something that is equivalent to making substantial modifications to a policy or creating real substantial frameworks and obligations, if this makes sense.
Great. Thank you, Berkman. Jay Scott, is that hand still up or new hand?
Old hand. But at least I didn't cut myself off when I went to unmute this time. So.
Alan?
Thank you. I think Bertrand just made my case for me that guidance is a lighter weight term, which means it doesn't have the same impact, and therefore, if our definition is saying if it's a PDP, it's recommendations. If it's not the PDP formal process, it's guidance. That simply says what I said when at the very beginning, that I'm worried that the connotation of guidance is weak, and I didn't think that's what the definitions group was trying to propose at the time. But I certainly wouldn't support the fact that if it's not a PDP, it's weaker and has less specificity. It does not necessarily mean that, or it shouldn't mean that at all.
This is Michael Allen. I guess I'd like to ask if, for that very reason, if it's not a useful term for us to utilize in the work group discussion, so that we have somewhere, a scale somewhere between guidance and policy, and also a recognition that calling it guidance may be something that would create problems later on. Hence, we should not adopt that term, which was suggested in the charter. But for the very reason what you were saying and Bertrand was saying, it seems to me that that term and close to what the definition stands as it stands now with the change, that it should be more substantive rather than procedural,
yeah,
that it's a very useful one for us.
Well, I think, and I just noticed Marika's hand is up, so maybe I should yield to her, but I'll very quickly say, if I remember correctly, in the definitions group, we came up with the word guidance not originally to talk about policy that is not that had not followed the PDP, but we were using it in respect to the kinds of things that the GNSO has experienced recently, where the board says, can you give us some advice or some guidance on something? And through whatever methodology the GNSO comes up and is able to say something, that's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think when we introduced the term, we were using it as the almost equivalent to PDP recommendations, but without the PDP. Somehow that's got morphed in as this definition got developed. But maybe Marika always remembers better than I do.
Marika, do you remember better than Alan does?
This is Marika. I think I agree here with Alan, and I think it's something I tried to also get into the definition, but I think we ended up adding the for developing GTDLD policy and maybe implying that it's similar to the PDP. But again, I think we're really jumping ahead by trying to say, well, this should be having the same value as PDP recommendations, whether yes or no, because I think that is really one of the tasks that the working group has been assigned with, because basically here I think what we're just basically trying to describe here is the current practice where we, and there is no formal term for that, but what we think it currently means, where indeed the board may ask for something, or in relation to implementation, new GTLD implementation discussions, the board turns around and says we want community input, and I think that's where we're actually envisioning that this working group hopefully will come up for a formal process by which the GNSO can do that, because I think now we're in a situation where there are ad hoc processes that are being used, but they don't have, indeed, and I think as Alan already referred to, they don't have any, there's no requirement linked to those that the board has to consider those, or that there's a certain voting threshold associated with it, like it does with PDP recommendations. And I think those are all the issues that the working group is expected to consider. And again, we'd really like to make sure that people actually focus on, let's just try to get something here that we can work with, and indeed we have a common understanding of what we're looking at, but let's try to avoid to already put those conclusions in this working definitions, because I think that's some of the conversations to go through, because one of the outcomes may be as well that this group says, we need, and I think that's something that the sub-team discussed as well, a possible outcome may be that we have different kinds of processes. There may be one process that the GNSO uses in relation to implementation, let me call it now advice, in relation to GNSO PDP recommendations. There may be another advice process that it would use if the board asks for input, for example, on a strategic plan. There may be another advice mechanism which it could use when it responds to one of the other SOs, ACs, in the feedback they're requesting. So I think we really need to make sure as well that these definitions are not precluding the working group conversations and the different directions or options that you have, you're able to consider in addressing the charter question looking at this issue.
Yeah, this is Michael. I know Greg has raised his hand, and then Avery, I've got a couple questions for you based on the chat. But Greg, you want to go ahead?
It's Greg Chatton, for the record. I think that one of the things that's important to keep in mind as I listen to this, and I also see Avery's question in the chat, PDP recommendations with a capital R has a very specific meaning in the ICANN bylaws and the board approval processes, including the requirement that basically it be, I'm oversimplifying, voted down by a supermajority, and or else it becomes policy. Anything other than capital R recommendations, don't have that that force. So I think there is a big difference in how things work as to whether something is a PDP recommendation with a capital R and whether it's guidance with a small g or large g. I would also avoid probably using the word recommendations with a small r so that it's not confused with recommendations with a capital R, which are the kind of the big stick of the GNSO. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. And Aubrey, I was going to come back to you. I think it's raised up now. There was one particular thing that you had stated that I had a question about. It was your statement to Marika that what she said was one of the points that came out in the discussion in the NCSG, that the definition are constraining the possible answers. And I wonder, is that referring to the definitions that the subteam is working on or the use of the terms that were coming out in the chart? I guess that was my question when I read that.
Hi, this is Aubrey.
Hi, Aubrey.
I think it was only on some of the definitions that you were coming out on that as you read them, there's constraints, that a policy is a written statement. Well, that constrains the definition of policy before we've really talked about it. And there were things like that going through that, yes, I know it's being called a working definition, but once you have something down as a working definition, it does become a constraint. So if somebody starts to describe a policy, like I said in another one, I'm thinking my views of policy are far more fluid than these definitions are showing, and things are turning into static boxes. So the definitions are what are constraining or possibly constraining future conversations. Because you might even get to the point and say, well, when you're talking about policy as it relates to people's actions during the implementation phase, oh, no, that's out of scope because policy is a document. And so I think there's a concern there that the definitions, albeit working definitions, might be constraining some of the thought. The comment was especially made on a later I think it was number two, but it really does bear back to these as well.
Okay, I will keep that in mind and understand the concern. I think the goal of coming up with these definitions, in fact, was to constrain the meaning so that the discussion of that limitation and taking it beyond those terms would enable us to explore those. But if we did not have that limited meaning, we would not be able to get to the broader concerns. And I suppose my approach to that, or my explanation of it, is it's rather like Japanese Zen. If you have not grown up in a very restrictive culture, then the freedom represented when you begin that study doesn't have the same meaning. And at the same time, the purpose was not to drive the end result of the work group, but just to enable us to talk and to recognize the limitations of those terms as we're talking, and so further develop. But I think you're right. I think we need to keep in mind that these are intended to be illustrative and not the answer. And I think if we can keep that in mind, that helps along the path, and I hope addresses that concern. Greg, is that your hand back up or same up?
I'll take it as
old animal.
Okay. Let me move on, because thank you. I think the discussion of that's been very useful to get back to the subgroup, subteam. Let me move on to number four definitions, which are much shorter definitions, whether they're on target or not. Implementation, it's the process of carrying out or applying a policy. And then implementation of a GNSO policy is the process of carrying out or applying a GNSO policy. I think that second one is pretty, it doesn't further elucidate, but maybe that's something that we would come upon if there was some difference in how GNSO implementation works. And then number five was implement, and that was defined as to put into effect, carry out, or execute a policy, to accomplish a policy. And then Chuck did ask, I'm not sure which one this is pointing to. Is this pointing to implement or implementation? Is this necessary?
Well, the first comment, this is Chuck, the first comment three, refers to the implementation of a GNSO policy. I didn't see that that added any value, but that's fine if people want to leave it. Four and five, I thought, and this is where comment four comes in. Four and five, it seems to me, could be combined into one, because they're really saying kind of the same thing. Maybe we want to use all the different words, but that could be worked out. Those were my comments there.
Okay. I guess my explanation, as I recollect from the subgroup, was when we talked about implement, that was the general idea of to put something into effect, whereas implementation is the process that's carried out in order to implement the policy. That was the reason for the two of those. I'm neither here nor there. I don't know anyone else on the subteam as to whether or not implementation of a GNSO policy as a definition adds anything or if removing it helps anything. Bertrand, you have your hand up?
Yeah. I'm quite in line with Chuck here regarding merging 4 and 5. I actually like very much the inclusion of putting into effect and executing a policy. I think it would nicely fit in the general definition. Carrying out or applying is also executing and putting into effect. Beyond that, I think there is a bit missing here, which is that in the process of implementing a policy, there are a certain number of decisions that have to be made regarding how the actual principle or rule or so is going to be implemented. And it is often in defining how this implementation is going to be conducted that the potential tension with the policy itself emerges, because sometimes there's a feeling that the mechanisms that are invented to implement actually require to make decisions that are very close to refining the policy. This is exactly the kind of problem we encounter in the development of the applicant guidebook, where the policy itself was theoretically set in 2008, but it is clear that the applicant guidebook was some hybrid thing where the consultation processes were much closer to a sort of implementation policy process or policy for implementation than pure implementation. There are cases where the policy is extremely clear and detailed, and implementation is just putting it into effect. But when the policy is at a relatively high level, this is where the trouble between around the separation comes in, and I think it would be good when we describe implementation to say it is the process of carrying out, putting into effect, and executing a policy. And part of the implementation process is actually to define mechanisms for executing this policy, which is an important component. So an additional element saying that implementation includes defining modalities for executing this policy is missing here.
Thank you, Bertrand. I think your discussion of the elements that go within the implementation and their appropriateness, I think that is really to the definitions. That's really what we're looking for the working group to carry out as a whole. And that would be one case where I think if we tried to anticipate what all might go into describing GNSO implementation at this point, I think we would do ourselves a disservice, because I think that's for the broader discussion to come. But I thank you, and I think that's a good observation on the limitation of the definition, which perhaps, to my mind, makes that a good definition. Now we can talk about it. Anne, you have your hand up?
Sorry.
Do you have your hand up?
Yes.
Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun, huh?
Oh, no, go ahead.
My comment is that this definition seems to skip a step that might hamper the working group and its efforts, because I think the current definition of implementation is implementation of a policy adopted by the ICANN board, and that when we talk about implementation of a GNSO policy, right now, as I understand it, GNSO policy recommendations are not directly implemented. They go first to the board, and then as a result of the board adopting the policy, there's an implementation process, and that's specifically referred to in the bylaws and in, you know, various provisions that say that if the GNSO doesn't like the way something's being implemented, they should write a letter to the board. I'm concerned we're going to hamper the work of the group if we don't make that clear, because we may want to make a distinction where there are situations where GNSO policy guidance can come directly into the implementation process, but the current definition of implementation only comes into play after policies adopted by the ICANN board. There's not a GNSO policy that's directly implemented yet.
So that would be another good reason for taking out implementation of a GNSO policy.
Yeah, just to make sure that, I mean, for example, if the group wants to, going forward, develop something called policy guidance and provide for that being somehow implemented during the implementation phase without going back to the ICANN board, these definitions would be hamper you somewhat in that regard, because of the existing process of that implementation means implementing an ICANN board adopted policy.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Thank you. I think there's just a wording error there that should have said applying a GNSO recommended policy. I don't think there was anything more deeply implied there than it was a policy which originated with the GNSO, was adopted without significant change by the board, and is now being implemented.
That would make good sense.
So I don't think we were trying to originate a concept there. I think there's just a word left out.
Right. Well, I've written it in my draft. John?
Thanks, Michael. Anne's right, of course. There isn't a GNSO policy until the board approves it. I think the descriptive there was mainly to refer to a policy that affects the GNSO rather than implying any approval authority on the part of the GNSO, but I think everybody's got that, so I don't need to say more on that.
Right, and I think Alan's approach to that might be a good thing to do, so we use that term. We're getting close. I'd like to
one more term at least opened up, and that is the next one, which is principle, which I think, too, actually is part response to a question that Bertrand raised earlier in regard to policy. And the definition that we came up with from vocabulary.com online, very dictionary definition of a principle is a kind of rule, belief, or idea that guides you. And then there's further modification and explanation, a primary source of basic belief, truth, or theory that underpins and influences actions, represents that which is considered to be positive or desirable for an organization, and guides and governs that organization's policies, internal processes, and objectives. And in reading that, the only thing that somewhat disturbs me that could be revised, I'm not sure in what way, is the word you. Insofar as the principle that we're specifically discussing are principles that guide not you, but ICANN or GNSO policy process or that. So maybe there's a better term to use than you.
This is Chuck, or you could say or that provides guidance, an idea or idea that provides guidance, but that's fixable.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm working on the fixing part of it. let's turn then. I mean, we have a couple more here we could get through, I think. GNSO consensus, which is the definition is based on Section 3.6 of the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, and it is given as consensus is, quote, a position where only a small minority agrees, but most agree, end quote. And then there is the note following that in addition to consensus, there are also other designations defined in a GNSO context, such as full consensus, strong support, but significant opposition. And then points to Section 3.6 for further details. And we note that consensus may have a different meaning outside the GNSO context. And then the following definition, 8, which is GNSO consensus policy, capitalized. Consensus policies are those policies established, one, pursuant to the procedure set forth in ICANN's bylaws and due process, and two, covering those topics listed in Section 1.2 of the Consensus Policies and Temporary Policy Specification of the 2013 RAA, which is attached as Annex 1, or the relevant sections in the GTLD Registry Agreements, which is attached as Annex 2. Consensus policies adopted following the outlined procedures are applicable and enforceable on contracted parties as of the implementation effective date. And I just raise in passing that perhaps in for the same reasons as we were discussing in connection with GNSO policy, perhaps we need clarification there of effective date based on board action. Bertrand?
Yeah, I think this, and particularly the definition in the consensus policy and temporary policy specification, the definition of consensus policy is a perfect example of the distinction I was making early on a definition that is based on process or a definition that is based on substance. When you look at the definition, the one is actually a procedural definition, and two is a substantive definition. Actually, the way I understand this is that it should almost be in the reverse, because consensus policy is first of all, a type of content, the type of topics, and the reason why, because of the nature of those rules, that they have a specific process to be developed, is the consequence. I think that without the part two, the notion of consensus policy would be a purely procedural definition. The important element of consensus policy here in definition is, in my view, the scope. When I would say substantive definition, actually I meant scope and amplitude. And so the definition of consensus policy here is, in my view, mostly the second one. And the consequence is that it should follow a certain set of procedures set by the bylaws. But the way it is written combines the two dimensions, and I think it's a good illustration that we have a term that says consensus policy, which is actually defining a type of content or a type of rule and setting the procedure to deal with that type of rule, just like we have picket fence and we have other elements. So I think it's a good anchor to continue exploring this distinction, and I would personally be much more in favor, the more we go through, in making the definition of policies more or less in relation to what they say and making the procedure a consequence rather than making the definition of policy by the procedure that is being followed, irrespective of the substance. So this is a very good example of the articulation of both the substantive and procedural component. And if I were to write this paragraph, I would say consensus policies are policies jumping directly to two, covering the following topics. And in a separate paragraph, because of the nature of those rules, they should be adopted following the following procedure.
Michael, this is Chuck. I'm going to jump in because we're over time now. Marika, do you have something very brief?
Yeah, this is Marika. I was also noting, as we're running out of time, I was actually going to make a suggestion on maybe how to proceed on this. And I think many people have made very good suggestions, but I'm not completely clear on how all of those translate maybe into changes. So my suggestion would be that we send out this document as it currently stands to the working group list, encourage everyone to either provide, you know, specific comments in writing and preferably edits or suggestions on how to update, add, or change the existing recommendations by hopefully next Wednesday, and then maybe on Thursday the sub-team can meet again, look at the input received and suggestions made, and hopefully turn that around in time for the next working group meeting in 2 weeks, so the working group can then have a look and see whether, you know, they're happy with the changes that were made based on the input received. I don't know if that's a possible way forward.
Thank you, Marika. I think that's a good suggestion, and I encourage people to do that. And Marika, for those that aren't on the call, if you could communicate that on the list, that would be good. Tom, very quickly, please.
Just real quick, I wanted to throw out a possible new definition, which is bottoms up. We use it everywhere, and I'm not sure if we've ever really defined it.
Thank you, Tom. Something else for the sub-team to consider. The next steps then, Marika just gave some for everybody to comment. And by the way, feel free to comment on definitions 9 and 10, which we didn't get to today as well, and that'll help us next time. The leadership team will talk about this, but I'm guessing that a good approach for our next working group meeting 2 weeks from now will be to maybe first talk about definitions 9 and 10 briefly, and then to go back see what the sub-team has come back with a red line in terms of the input that they received in the call today and online. Going from there, Marika, do you want to make any brief comments on the work plan, or is it sufficient that you distributed it?
Yeah, this is Marika. I sent it to the list earlier today, just reflecting the current status of work, and push some of the other things further down the line to reflect that, you know, some of these discussions are taking a bit longer than initially anticipated. If people see anything on there that needs further updating or changing, just send me a note or send it to the list, and I'm happy to go into more detail maybe at the next meeting if time allows.
Thank you, Bertrand. Very briefly, please.
Yeah, just one quick comment on definition 10. The first paragraph covers both policy making and implementation, and I think accordingly the second paragraph at the end should not be limited to bottom-up consensus-based policy development process, but say utilizes bottom-up consensus processes open to anyone willing to participate.
Thank you. Okay, sorry for going over a little bit, but my own assessment is that this was very productive, and I hope that the definition sub-team sees it that way as well. They now have a lot of input from the broader working team, and, of course, we've given them more work to do. But we do appreciate what's been done and appreciate you going back and then coming up 2 weeks from now with a red line of what you have right now. Is there anything else before we adjourn?
The only thing, this is Michael. Marika, would you send out a doodle to see if we could schedule a definition sub-team meeting for next week?
Thank you, Michael.
For Thursday. We'll do so.
Thanks to both of you, and thanks to everyone. It's been a really good meeting, in my opinion. Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you very much for being here and also for the recording.